Parshas Yisro, and that can be found on page 394. Now, before we actually get into, I'm really going to be looking at three, maybe four topics today, but what I did today is I gave you really lengthy comments. In other words, if the Orach Chaim had a comment, had a long comment on something, so I went with it. We're not going to get into the Aseres Dibros, unfortunately. We are not going to have the time to do that. But I want to begin just by showing you a little bit, and this is not so much the direction that the Or HaChaim goes, but when I was reading the Or HaChaim, I was inspired. Hey, nice to see you. I was inspired to think of the Pesukim in a slightly little different way. And when we look at the Or HaChaim, we'll see some of this, it kind of hints to this. But really, more than anything, I just want to open your eyes to the idea of how to read Chumash critically. Okay? And when I say critically, I don't mean in the way like the Bible critics do, although that's not bad, because Rav Breuer, for example, Rav Mordechai Breuer is a Kohen of the Bracha. I spent a year in a shir that he gave in Gush. So while I can't consider myself a Talmud, I can consider myself a fan. And his whole shita of how to learn was based on responding to the Bible critics. I mean, that was his approach. Okay, so it's important to just be aware that the questions which the Bible critics ask are good questions, but that's not what I'm trying to do here. What I'm trying to do is show you that when you open up a Chumash and you read, you really have to understand every single word. You have to ask the important questions. Okay, so we begin by Yishma Yisro Kohen Midyan. Yisro, the Kohen Midyan, heard something. Then it says he's Chosein Moshe. Well, you know, we already knew that he's Chosein Moshe. So, A, why is the Torah telling us that he's Moshe's father-in-law? And B, which is a more important character trait? Or which is a more, not a character trait, is not the right word, which is a more important title? Okay? Eis Kol Asher Asa Elohim, all that God did, Lim Moshe Uli Yisrael Amo. Well, what happened to Moshe? Right? I mean, Moshe was never a slave. Moshe, you know, I mean, you could say that, Movayamin Bashem of Moshe Avdo, right? But more importantly would be, what happened to Yisrael? So, and that's even in fact what it says. Ki Yotzi Hashem es Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. It doesn't say Ki Yotzi Hashem es Moshe of Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. So what do you mean? Kol Asher Asa Elohim LeMoshe. Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe. Yisro, Moshe's father-in-law, took Es Tzipora Eishes Moshe Achar Shilucha. That he took Tzipora, the wife of Moshe, after she had been sent. Okay, so what does that mean? He took her. He took her in. Okay? He took her back into his house. So where is she? When did Moshe send her? Well, we don't know when Moshe sent her. The last time we've seen Tzipora was in the hotel. Okay? That was in that crazy story in the after the burning bush, in chapter 4 of Shemos. Okay? Achar Shilucha. Ve'eish Shnei Boneha. And he took her two sons. Asher Shem Echad Gershom Ker Margar Yisrael Shem Echad El Yazuk El Yisrael 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 Paro. Okay? So he takes them. Huh? What does that mean? Where are they? They are at his house, as best as we know. Okay, Vayavo Yisro Chosein Moshe. Yisro, Moshe's father-in-law, comes. Uvanav v'ishto al Moshe. Now, I made this point last year. Uvanav v'ishto al Moshe. Whose sons? Whose wife? Right? Good question. I mean, I know what we're all thinking. Right? What we all assume is that it's referring to Tzipora and Gershom and Eliezer, because they were just the subjects. But if you actually read this, again, critically, what's the subject? The subject is Yisro. Yisro's coming, so who's coming with him?
Shouldn't it also be Ishto Uvanav?
Whatever. Okay, but the point is that fine. Okay, now, Elamid Bar Shulchan Hashem Alim to the wilderness where he is encamped at Har HaElohim. What's Har HaElohim? We've seen Har HaElohim before. We've seen it a couple times. Moshe has the burning bush episode on Har HaElohim. Aaron comes out to meet Moshe on Har HaElohim. At the burning bush, Moshe is told that when you get to the way that you know that I've sent you is that you're going to serve God on the, you're going to serve me on this mountain. So what does that mean? Where are they? It would seem, based on all the other evidence, that they're already at Sinai. Okay? I mean, that's what Har HaElohim means. So what does he say? Vayomer el Moshe, ani chosincha Yisro bo elecha. I, Yisro, have come to you. Okay? Esnachta. What's an esnachta? Big pause in the pasuk. V'ishtecha u'shnei v'nei ima. And your wife and your two sons are with her. Where? He didn't say, I have come with your wife. There's a big pause in the pasuk. Okay, so where are they? So, v'yitzei Moshe l'kras choseno. Moshe comes out to his father-in-law. No mention of his wife. No mention of his sons. Right, there's no mention of them anymore. Okay, and then Vayichad Yisro, Pasuk Tes. Okay, Al Kol Tavasher Social. Right, he's happy over everything that he's heard. Vayomer Yisro, Yisro says Baruch Hashem. Okay, Atayadati. Everything that happens here, Pasuk Yabez. Vayavo Ahar Vayikach Yisro Chasem Shalom Zvachim Lelohim. So again, Yisro is the one who's doing all this stuff. Vayavo Aaron Mecholzik Neisrael Lecholechem Im Chosein Moshe Elfnei Elohim. Okay, there is no mention of Moshe's wife and children. So I just have a very simple question. Are they there? Are they there? Okay, so again, just showing you how to read a little more critically. Okay, now, with that, now that we've read the Psukim, so now we're going to look at the Or Chaim. We'll see his questions and his answers. And we'll do what we normally do here. Okay? So this is in the middle of Pasuk Aleph, in his comments of Pasuk Aleph. So I just cut out the first paragraph or two. So we're up to Gamze Yagid. Okay? So just to review the Pasuk. Yisro heard, Eis kol asher aso Elohim l'Moshe l'Yisrael. Yisro heard about all that Elohim did, Moshe and Yisrael. Gamze Yagid Shevach Yish. Of course, just about everybody is. I mean, there are some who are critical of Yisro, and that's probably not our discussion tonight. Mostly everybody is complimentary of Yisro and they praise Yisro in terms of his curiosity and his joining the Jewish people. I think we noted last year in Parshas Yisro that there is a view that the story in Parshas Beha'alosecha, when Moshe asks Yisro, "Vayisalana le'naim," he says, "You'll guide us," that was really at the same time as this story. And then at the end of that story, Moshe says, "You know, will you come with it? Will you not?" And we don't know what Yisro ends up doing, which is fascinating. At the end of this story here in chapter 18, we see that Moshe sends his father-in-law home. So if the two stories are connected, then we know what happened. But if they're not, all right, where does Yisro come from in Parshas Baloscha? So again, it's just begging the question in that thinking critically attitude. So Gamze Yagid Shevach Ish. Again, I'm on top page one. Gamze Yagid Shevach Ish Ishtadel Adas Kol Pirtei Masim. That this is a praise of Yisro, that he wants to know everything, all the details. Right? He wants to understand, what did you go through? Tell me everything. Vze Yagid Ki Ahavas Yaakov. So he says, this just goes to show of his love for Yaakov. What does it mean? Yaakov the man? Not likely. I'm sure Yisro is not old enough to have met Yaakov. But of Yaakov the nation. Right? Ish sone l're'ehu, somebody who hates his neighbor, yakutz b'agadah shvachav. Right? If you find out, if you actually get to know somebody who you disagree with, or you don't like, or you don't understand, you find out about them, you could find out, hey, maybe not so bad. Which is not the case with somebody who loves his beloved, right? Meaning, I already love you, what do I need to find out? So what Hashem is showing us about his particular faith is that he loves Israel. Od yirtze, beduktuk od, when we further explore, why does the Pasuk specifically mention that God took Israel out of Egypt from everything else? Right? That's the main thing. So what do you mean? You just say, that's a big deal. Right? And everything which has followed is really included. Right? What happened when he took Bnei Israel out of Egypt? Oh, well, Yetzias Mitzrayim, obviously. What happened when he took Bnei Israel out of Egypt? Well, they went through the sea, and all of a sudden they have manna from heaven. What else happened when they took Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim? Well, there was a war with Amalek. I mean, there's a lot going on. But that's all, it's all, you know, part and parcel. It's all included. So he really wants to know to everything. So why specifically that? So again, he hasn't really answered that question completely. Anyway, Achayim Letzak Yisro Nestan Yad Atok of Shevis Mitzrayim Kamer Devarim Ki Asir Mitzrayim Lo Paschu Me Olam. So Yisro, you know, knew a little bit about the captivity in Egypt, as it says in the Mechilta that those who were captured in Egypt, they were not what.
Couldn't escape.
They never went away, right? Yeah. Umagam l'divrayhem shamru ki Yisrael yamiyotzei paro baki mitzrayim asira Yisrael. There's a whole viewpoint in the Gemara and in the Midrash that Yisrael had been one of Paro's advisors. Or is that Midrash about Bilam Yov and Yisrael, right? Is that what it is? Right. Okay, everyone's familiar with that. At least I see some of you are certainly familiar with it. But that Yisrael had to leave Egypt. That was the point. But Yisrael was aware of Egyptian, you know, the Egyptian society and how it worked. The fact that he heard that God had taken them out, you know, he doesn't really understand how that's going to happen. So the Torah is telling us how Yisroel basically came to grips with it. So what is it that Yisroel heard? Everything that God did in justifying what's the Navi? A prophet. Who's that? Moshe. Luomro. Asher asa le Moshe. And that's what it says. Eiz kol asher asa lehim le Moshe. Uli Yisrael movi. And if lo'oz sha'asa, that's all Israel, and all the wonders that he did to save Israel, bein b'rudiyas machzik bam, whether it's referring to, what's rudiyas machzik, bringing down a destroyer, what's that referring to? In all likelihood, makas b'choros, or just the plagues, right? Bein b'afal asam yamakos, right? And the distinction between Israel and Egypt in the plagues, bein b'nei sayam, whether it's the splitting of the sea, zayadak, yotzi, and through all of these details, Yisrael puts pieces of the puzzle together and says, ah, obviously, Hotzi Hashem Yisrael, like, how else can you explain this? It doesn't say, and that, meaning that would be separate from Kol Asher Asar Elohim L'Moshe. Ki Hotzi is describing, right? The Vav, if there were a Vav, it would be an additional item. So what the Aruch Chaim is, and I just love when the commentaries point this out, that from one letter or the lack of one letter, he says the Kiyotzi Hashem Yisrael Mitzrayim is basically an explanation for Eis Kol Asher Asar Elohim L'Moshe El Yisrael Amo. So he says, I don't want to skip anything. And without hearing all of the that had been done from all the wonders, lo yamatzdik, he would not justify or righteous eyes. Hagam sheishma sheshalcham, and the fact that he hears that he sent them out, ki lo yamin, that he wouldn't believe, im yamin lo yiftach, and if he would believe, he wouldn't trust. Ki yomar shuv yirdefu achrayem, he would say that they're still going to chase after him. Radfu v'lo yachlu yachinu od machanev yirdefu. Basically, Yisro is understanding. He understands Egypt's MO. Right, he knows that when God takes the B'nai Israel out of Egypt, what's going to happen? Egypt's going to give chase. So he's already put all this together because he understands the way Egypt operates. Right, the fact that it says kol asher, everything, again, without the vav, but that it's including everything that had taken place, he is justifying that God has taken him out, or he's understanding, or it's again, righteousizing, it's not a word, I'm making it up, okay, that God took him out. Right, I'm sure you've heard this, Rashi is one of the people who mentioned it, it's the very first comment, right, some talk about the months, some talk about the some talk about Matan Torah, by the way, and that goes into the question about Yimukdam and Mu'uchar Torah. But he mentions the one that Rashi mentions, okay, about the splitting of the sea and the war with Amalek. So v'zeh matim l'dvareinu, and this fits in very well with what we have said, that he had heard about those specific things. Well, divreya omer milchamis Amalek, and to those who say that what he specifically heard was the war with Amalek, because that is what immediately precedes Yisro's hearing, right? That's the very end of last week's parsha. That would indicate that maybe he didn't hear everything. Okay, so what would that mean? that everything that he heard from the, he would not, lo yispik lo kol ma shishma, that it wouldn't be enough, everything that he heard from all the wonders, because what's he going to look at? Hasovev hu pachaz uso shaparo. What's pachaz? Right, we know this from, right, we know this from Reuven, right? The bracha that Yaakov gives to Reuven, pachaz kamayim. So what caused Paro to be drowned in the sea? That he was just so stubborn, that what he's going to do is keneged shlucho shamakom, that he was just, he wanted to go head to head against that who God had sent. Lo letzara chatzar yishishok, he lo yashem torah kol kach b'shvilam, and it's not for the sake of the saving of Israel, because Hashem would not have gotten so involved. And so what this is indicating is that there isn't trust for Israel or protection for Israel from the nations. Asher yakumu alehem. So in other words, the Yisro is understanding and indicating, you know, you would think that if people would hear what happened with Israel against Egypt, they might say, wait a second, you know, there's a God who's watching over them and protecting them. Maybe it's a good idea not to mess with them. But what happened immediately is Amalek comes along and they say, oh yeah, you know, Egypt from Egypt, who cares? We're gonna beat these guys. So Yisro is saying, wait, you know, I mean, how could anybody else not see? And so Yisro, in incredible contrast, is saying, I get it, right? Amalek sees what happens, and they say, no, Egypt, they're weak. We're going to beat them. And Yisro is saying, hold on, guys, it doesn't work that way, okay? What's the strength of this cursed war? The fact, but what is Kiyotzi? That God took them out. So what does that include? That he heard about Yitzias Mitzrayim and the war with Amalek. So now Yisro says nothing's coincidence. This is all because God loves Israel. Lo tziyam, that took them out. Uvishvilam asa, kol asher asa. Ushmiyas Amalek yagid. And so God did everything for them. And the shmiyas, and hearing about what happened with Amalek, is just further proof that God is on Israel's side. O yirtzeh. Be'omro ki yotzi. Another thing which is implied from the words that God took them out. L'smoch achareha, gadas ki chas Yisro es tziporah. So this is to help us understand the idea of Yisro taking Tzipora. The Midrash says, when if you remember, after the burning bush, Moshe comes back immediately to his father-in-law, and he asks him for permission to go to Egypt. He says, right, El Chaber, Achai, Asher, Mitzrayim, see what's going on over there. And so the Midrash says, Yisro says, well, why would you bring your wife and your, and at that point in time, we only know about one child, but why would you bring, why would you bring your wife and your kids? Amar lo, Moshe says, Asidin Yisrael lekabel Torah har Sinai. Below you, banai b'chlal. So Moshe says, well, look, I need to take mine because we need to be together, right? How can my children not be present? We're going to be getting the Torah. Amar lo, Yisro says, lech l'shalom. You gave him permission to go. Adkan. L'ze amar akasum ki otzi v'yikach l'kayin dvaro. So that viewpoint, right, that the Or HaChaim is saying is, so Yisro is saying, you're right, your kids need to be there, so I'm going to bring them to you. Okay, again, that is obviously suggesting that the questions that I raised at the beginning, the Or HaChaim is saying, no, of course Yisro brought them. Okay, fair enough. Is it true? Right, so that's another interesting question. Okay.
Moshe says, how can they see that my kids not be there?
Right.
And you're saying that he's okay, I'll bring
so,
you.
So the Or HaChaim is clearly of the view that in terms of Mukdam of Uchabra Torah, that Yisro is coming before Matan Torah. Okay, now, that doesn't answer for the question of the second half of chapter 18, because the second half of chapter 18 has Moshe sitting and judging the people all day. And so that just begs the question, what's he judging them for? What law is he utilizing? Right, I mean, there were some laws which were learned in Mora. Sham sam lo choku mishpat v'sham misahu. Okay, so what are the, right, and you know, v'sham artal kol chukav, right? I mean, there are mitzvos which were taught at Mora. Okay, fair enough. Are those enough mitzvos? Was there enough time that Moshe knows all of the law to be able to discern that? I mean, again, that's the reason why. I think I mentioned last week or a couple weeks ago that for a long time, you know, this is a classic debate between Rashi and Ramban. Rashi says, "En mukdam mukha b'torah." The Torah is not given in its chronology. And Rabban says, "Yesh mukdam mukha b'torah." That the Torah is offered in chronology. And for many years, I was in the Ramban camp. I felt that the Ramban was on target. And of late, the more that I look at it, I'm in the Rashi camp when it comes to Yesh mukdam mukha b'torah. I mean, it's just there are too many difficult questions. By the way, the Yehuda and Tamar story is a classic example. How do you figure? It's plopped in the middle of too much else going on to say that there's Yesh Mukdam Umuchar Batorah. Okay, we'll just leave that for this. Okay, anyway, we move on. So the next pasuk, Vayikach Yisro Chosei Moshe. So Yisro takes the father-in-law Moshe. Okay. So this is I don't want to call a commentary cute, but I just found it again intriguing and compelling. So Perush Litzad Shayach Hosein Moshe Matza Asos Kacha Shalach Laharalim. Right, what did he do? He took his Hosein Moshe title. Right, he said, "I'm Moshe's father-in-law. I'm Moshe's father-in-law. So what do I need to do? I'm going to take my title of as Moshe's father-in-law, and what's that going to do? That's going to light a fire under me, and I'm going to show my curiosity to join." So that's why it says, it introduced us. It says, "Vayishma Yisro." Who's Yisro? Kohen Midyan, Chosein Moshe. So what did he do? He drops the Kohen Midyan. Vayikach Yisro, Chosein Moshe. I got two titles, but now I'm going to take the one which is important. Okay. Right. That what basically encouraged him to do that was that he recognized the reverence that people were having. He that the nations were seeing that Moshe is no one to be trifled with. Aval zulas ze hayumonin osom aleches lichfor beemunasam. But without having that title, nobody would have let him go. Nobody would have let him go. Okay, to go against their faith. Right, umagam shechoshroi b'nehem, and they're suspicious of him. Oh, Moshe, Yisro, you're joining those people? Come on, they're only coming for us eventually. So how could you join them? V'timtza shekol umatachay misa l'kofra b'munasam, and you should see and you should know that every nation would have a price or a death penalty for somebody who goes against their faith. Mm-hmm. Right, that is what protects Yisro. It's like his Yisro, you're going to go against the belief system of Midian. Excuse me, do you know who I am? Right, I'm my son-in-law. My son-in-law is Moshe. You guys are afraid of Moshe? Well, don't touch me. I'm his father-in-law. Woohoo. Okay. But ulai shir mozot ki agam shoy el Yisro kinu shel gedula likaros kohen midyan mas b'kinezer. Right? He had a title. He could have said, "Hey, I'm kohen midyan. I can do whatever I want. I can explore this other god." He says, "No, I'm not interested in that." L'kach lo kinui chosein Moshe. And he took the other title. Right? V'hum rov v'yikach Yisro. Ma l'kach? What did he take from the two titles? He said, "I'm going to identify as Moshe's father." Okay, then we're continuing to the top of page 2. Achar shiluchah. Tam shitzrich lamar achar shiluchah. Gam dikdik lamar lashon shluchin. So in other words, the Torah is mentioning to us that Moshe had sent her. Presumably that Moshe had sent her. After she had been sent. Interesting. Doesn't really tell us who had sent her, but okay, I'll just leave the assumptions what they are. So he says, aside from what the rabbis say, it would seem that Moshe divorced her. Now, Gorsha could mean divorced. It could also mean sent her away. Right? It doesn't have to necessarily mean divorced, but that he sent her away. What?
The word negosh.
Right, exactly. Right? Kishera'a shahaya osek b'mitzvah shlichu so yizbarach. When he saw that he had to deal with, right, who has the time to deal with my family? So lo yada shir azman b'shalcha mibeso. He said, "Look, the fact of the matter is, I don't know that I'm going to be able to pay attention to you. I don't know that I'll be able to take care of you. I have to be at the beck and call of God, and therefore, or just my mission." And so he sent her away from his house. And the sons, Eliezer Katanoya, Tzarech Limoshenel B'Derech Malon. So he actually suggests that Eliezer was born at the hotel, which is fascinating. The Torah does not say that. But anyway, so he says, and regarding the sons, why were they not with their father? Well, he was a baby when Moshe sent Tzipora back. Now, by the way, that's a debatable point. We don't know how long Moshe was living in Midian. We don't know what age he was. There are midrashim about it, but we don't.
60 years?
Not in Midian. He got to Midian. I don't remember the exact. There are different opinions. Some say that he. Some say there were three stages. There's one view that says there were three stages of Moshe's life. The first 40 years he was in Egypt. The next 40 years he was on the road, and eventually in Midian. And the last 40 years we know that's the rest of the Torah. Another viewpoint is that Moshe got to Midian either in his late 60s or early 70s. How quickly he married Tzipora when Gershom was born, you know, who knows? So anyway, but
this is the first time we hear of Eliezer.
Well, I mean, it really depends on how you translate the word banav, right? When Moshe puts his ishto uvanav al ha, you know, on the donkey, when they leave from Egypt, so how do you translate banav? Is it singular or is it plural? So it might. I mean, again, it's the first time he's mentioned by name, but it's not clear that it's the first time. And by the way, in terms of who's the child that's circumcised, the only thing that's clear in that story is that there was a problem, and that it was resolved through circumcision. But it's not clear. There's a debate amongst authorities who was the child that Tzipora circumcised. Was it Gershom or was it Eliezer? And if it was Eliezer, okay, that's one narrative. And if it was Gershom, it's a different narrative. And it's, in my view, it's a lot more of a fascinating narrative. But anyway, just go back to Gershom, was probably a young child as well, and close to Eliezer in age, all with different hands, Al Shamru, Shehis, Nim Yisro. And this is another viewpoint, which is mentioned in the Mechilta, as the Aruch Chaim notes, that Yisro and Moshe had made a deal, ben echad labas uben beiz la'av. That Tzipora gets one child and Moshe gets one child. In other words, that one is going to follow her family's religion and one's going to follow Moshe's family's religion. And so because of that, that's why both of them were in her hands. Right? Gershom was dedicated to her family, and which, by the way, is why the viewpoint that it was Gershom who was circumcised is so fascinating, because if he was dedicated to Yisro and to Yisro's idolatry at the time, the fact that Tzipora circumcises him, you know, just shows, okay, major shift. And then this way Eliezer would be from Moshe's family, but she had to stay with Tzipora on account of the fact that he was a baby, you know, so there's a lot to be thought of. Kabanas, Hodas Hashem Davar, Kan Lomar Shevach Yisro, Malas Moshe Beinav. So the fact that he's bringing them is showing praise to Yisro and also how he viewed Moshe. Shegam Shesholcha, Lakcha, even though he had sent her, he brings her, Vitarach, Bechwado, Beatzmolo, Lichalo, Afilo Acharshi Luchel. Again, I said at the outset in asking the questions, I was inspired by the Aruch Chaim to read what he was saying because of the way that he translates some of the words a little differently. Obviously, he is not of the view that Yisro came alone. Right? He's clearly of the view that Yisro came with Tzipora and the boys. Okay. Near Lamak, Itamom Roa, Harshilcha Per Shaloya, Dever Ela Ad Shakadma, Vishilchalo, the Moshe Shluchim, Yoda Mokam Tachanaso. So basically, Achar Shiluchah, the word Shiluchah, not that he sent there, but that Moshe sent a message saying, hey guys, we came out of Egypt, I'd love to meet you at Har Elohim, basically. Okay, and that's where he says, Vihiskim al Yoda, Azu Shalakach Yisro, Vayabal Medbar, and that's why Yisro comes, and that's why he's appearing at this point, because Moshe had sent a message sometime after the war with Amalek, hey, guess where we're headed? We're headed to Har Elohim. And that's where we look forward to meeting you. Ani chosencha Yisro, yishtecha, ta'am sheshina akasuf sidram. Okay, so let's take a look at what that point is. Pasuk hey, vayavo Yisro chosen Moshe uvanav v'ishto el Moshe. Okay, so it says that Yisro came and his sons and his wife. Okay, now in pasuk vav it says, I am here, ani chosencha Yisro v'ishtecha, and your wife and your sons. First, previously it says the sons and the wife. Now it's saying the wife and the sons. Okay, so he says here, Tam Shishina Gaz Sidram Khan Mesedikas Pasuk Shlovneza Shikdim Abanim Isha. So in the previous pasuk we mentioned the sons first. So why does it change here? Shamro, Im Ein Atayotse Bigini, if you're not coming out for me, then come out for
your wife.
For your wife. Okay, that's why when the Torah telling us that Yisro came with his sons and the wife. That's the Torah's narrative telling us the story. Okay, which is, again, it's just interesting because who writes the Torah narrative?
Moshe.
Moshe, Alpi God. So, you know, did Moshe say, wait a second. Are you sure you wanted this? I don't know, how much input Moshe had in the order. But anyway, but as far as what Yisro said, presumably this is the correct order, the way he says it, Ishtecha u'shnei v'neha. So anyway, he says, if you're not coming after me, then come after your wife. So the pasuk is giving them in the order of importance. Right? Look, come for me. If you're not going to come for me, come for your wife. If you're not going to come for your wife, come for your sons, right? Right? Because, and so, he's saying that Yisro's the bottom of the totem pole. That's what it seems that he's saying. And your wife, right? And that's, right? And, I mean, it's not nice to say, but the truth is that we know this, right? People, whatever their feelings are about the father-in-law, okay? People might get divorced from a spouse, right? It happens, but their children, right? I mean, unfortunately, lo aleinu, we know of stories where parents and children don't get along, but in most cases, people do not divorce their children, so to speak. Okay, so Yisro is saying this is the totem pole, and I'm on the bottom. Masha ein king shodia kasav biyasam lamibar v'shidrom seder achashuv chashuv kodem higdim abanim. So when the Torah presents it, the Torah says, no, let me give it in the order of who's most important to Moshe. His sons, agam sheikdim shem Yisro abanim. The fact that Yisro is mentioned before the sons, v'chan sidro kodem l'isha, and here they're mentioned before the wife, sheyare shehu lamata mimena. That shows that Yisro is even less than her. I'm not entirely clear. I mean, the way that Yisro mentions it shows that he's less, but that doesn't really explain why the Torah says, Vayavo Yisro Chosei Moshe, Uvanav V'ishto. Because that shows that the sons are in the middle. So, and Yisro is either below them, or, you know, so I'm a little unclear. So what's the point? Hu Yisro Diber Ba'anava V'shiflus. So Yisro speaks about himself, right, when he says, that's the Pasuk, Vav. Right, Yisro says, "Ani chosincha Yisro ba'elecha." Me on the bottom, v'shtecha next level, up, meaning one level up. V'shnei v'neha top tier. So when Yisro speaks about himself, Yisro speaks ba'anava v'shiflus, right, humility and lowering himself. Aval akasuv kibdo v'gimol tzadei yosochos no shel Moshe. But when the Torah introduces him, v'yavo Yisro chosein Moshe, that is actually the top level. So even though Yisro doesn't think of himself as the top level, so when the Torah is telling us, it's telling us, top, Yisro, to honor him, then sons, because that's, you know, they're Moshe's kids, v'ishto. Now, again, this is not, you know, it's like, we could also say acharon, acharon, chaviv, you know what I mean? So I don't want to start playing the game of who's most important, but you have to list, like, you know, shem, cham, and yefes. Okay, what is shem, cham, and yefes? Does that mean that cham is better than yefes? Right? You have to make a list. So you can throw in different ideas, and so the Aruch Chaim is just trying to show us something about what hierarchy means. Okay, so we'll leave that for what it is. But it's also trying to indicate that there's a difference between Yisro's humility and the way that the Pasuk honors him. Ushnei v'nei ima, right, in the little next paragraph, ta'am omero ima, niskaven lomar chalukah rivi'is, she'im ein ato sebi ina, levad, v'lo begin v'nei levad, tziriv kovod shnehem v'tzei. So he says that the idea of having her two sons are with her is giving another tier of invitation. Right, I'm here, and your wife, and your sons, and if you're not going to come out for me, you're not going to come out for your wife, you're not going to come out for your sons, well, your whole family's here. So come out for everybody. Okay, we're having a party. All right. So what does the Torah tell us? Vayetzei Moshe l'kras chosno. So I did point that out at the beginning, that Moshe goes out to whom? Which means that Yisro's first argument, me, little old me, right, bottom of the totem pole, Moshe actually comes out for him. Perish tzad shamar lo Yisro. He may not tell you to say begini, right? If you're not going to come out for me, Moshe says, I'm coming out for you. Zemar kasuva yitzei Moshe lekras chosno. Ki kvodo shechosno hispik lo tzei sekroso. It was to honor his father-in-law that was enough for him to come out. Ulai, shehasa hagel ledavar. Shehasa bichud lekraso. V'lo pona b'tziyos elamagam o'lo yishav yilad. Maybe Moshe is showing something really special about his relationship with his father-in-law, that he doesn't even turn to his wife and to his sons. Or maybe the Torah is just telling us that he came out to honor his father-in-law. So when Moshe bows to him, he's showing that he's coming to honor him. Okay, and he says that without having to mention this, I just skipped to the end of the next line. Right, so how do we know that he's honoring? Maybe he comes out to honor his wife and his children. Well, the fact of the matter is that the Torah only mentions that he's coming out to honor his father.
Interesting.
No, his father.
All this from one verse. I mean.
You know, listen. This is. You know, I mean, it's just amazing how sometimes it's a word. How they can come up with so much. Okay. So now. Okay. So the next story that we have is the story of the appointing of the judges. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I love this.
He was a management
consultant.
That's page two.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I'm just trying to think if that's the one that I wanted to show you more than anything. Okay. All right, yeah. We'll do this. Okay, good. All right, so when we continue in the Psukim, so we're going to skip a little bit in the Torah. So we know in Sheni, as I mentioned at the outset, Yisro comes to watch Moshe judging the people. And like a good father-in-law, he looks at him and he goes, I don't like what you're doing, right? I don't like what you're doing. I'm going to criticize. But it's constructive criticism. And so he tells him, he actually gives a pretty long speech, starting in Pasuk Yud Zayin, where he starts, I love it. Lo tov adavar asher ta aseh. What you do, no good. Right? I love it. It's the opening line. And then it's the next few Pasukim. Pasuk Yud Chas, Pasuk Yud Tas, Pasuk Chav, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Pasuk Chaf Aleph is, he says, look, you can teach everybody the law, and you can tell them, but you can't do this alone. You can't do it alone. So what do you need to do? Atatech hazeh mikol ha'amach she'chayli, re'el ke'amach she'emes, soni betzah. You have to find people who are valiant men, fearing God, people of truth, who don't like bribes. And you have to place them in a tier group of judges, right? Sari Alafim, the over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, and over tens. Okay, and there he will judge the people. And any big case they'll bring to you, but any small case they can judge for themselves. And then they'll make your burden much lightened. And if you're going to do this, then it's going to be great. Okay, so that takes us all the way to Shlishi. So basically, just look how long Yisro's speech is. I mean, it's almost, it doesn't compare to Yehuda's speech, which is really a very long speech, 15 psukim or so. But here you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and a half psukim that Yisro is speaking. So what does he say? So let's take a look at the, let's just take a look at the bottom of page 2, Anshei Chayil. Okay? Amar Dalad Hadaragos Keneged Dalad Minuyam Hamuzkaros Bidvarav. He gives him four tiers or four qualities that he wants to look. And why four qualities? Because there are four tiers of, right, if you think of it, of a hierarchy, right? Moshe's on the top. And who's below Moshe?
The king?
No. In other words, I was never quite clear on this. Is it the Sarei Alefim who are below him, or is it the Sarei Asaros? Probably Sarei Alefim, I would imagine. Okay, that are right. There's Moshe, and you have the Sarei Alefim, the Sarei Meos, the Sarei Chamishim, and the Sarei Asaros. There are four tiers below him, and that's why he gives Moshe four character traits, qualities that they're supposed to have. Keneged Sarei Alefim Amar Anshei Chayil. They have to be men of valor. That's the Sarei Alefim. Keneged, Tevas Chayil Tagid Otsem Hashlamas. Ha'osher, Hamidos, Vagura, Chlos Hashlemos. He tells us what Chayil means. What does it mean to be men of valor? They're just incredible Midos and strength and just the completeness of character. He's Kain Sarach Leos, Sarah Aleph. Really needs to be just an impeccable human being. Keneged Sarah Emos, Amar, Yirei Elokim. Right, the Sarah Emos, they need to be God fearing. Gilzai Pradzel, Loit, Sarah Kolkach, Elok, Shia, Yirei Elokim, Ro'ilius, Manos, Sarah Lamea. And he can be, the guy who's God-fearing can be in charge of 100 people as opposed to over 1,000. The Dikdek Lamar Yirei Elokim, in other words, because remember, the Sarei Alefim, who are they? Each Sarei Alefim, how many people have to answer to him? 1,000. Okay? How many people have to answer to the Sarei Meos?
100.
100. Okay, so it's much less responsibility. Udikdeglamar, I'm at the middle of the bottom line. Deglamar yirei Elokim, shetzichlin yos yireim. Right? It says God fearing that they have to be fearing yiras haonish, fear of punishment. Yesh chadaski yirei bechinas shem avaya l'tzad sheyebedato ki Hashem rachum v'chanun l'famim yechetav yismocha rachamav. Right? Somebody who is God fearing is somebody who fears yudkei vavkei. And he understands that God is merciful and compassionate. Sometimes I'm going to sin, and I'll rely on His mercy. That somebody who is afraid of punishment, what's that going to do to his intelligence? I don't know. Tarid hamaskil. Tarid. It's like a, yeah. I mean, ra'ada. Right.
Shaking.
It's a kind of shaking. So, you know, what does that do to him? So he has to have a kind of a balance in terms of what does it mean to be a yirei. The Kamosha Tim says shekol gedolei olam yirei migduk dekamishpat, that all of the great ones of the world, they're I don't want to say fearful. They have a reverence about the preciseness of judgment. They know that they also need to be straight and proper. Says you have to see what the Gemara talks about. Are you familiar with the story at the end of Shmuel when Shaul goes to get an etzah advice from his deceased mentor Shmuel? He has to go to the Balas Ov just Next for ease. I'm going to call her a witch, but yeah, whatever it is.
The bone
story and all that. And how when Shmuel is called, he doesn't know what to do, so he comes, Moshe Rabbeinu accompanies him because he's frightened by the sound of her voice in whatever way that she's calling him. Okay, so what does that mean? He says, "Uyan Shem Devrayhem." So I did not look that up, but the point is that there is Asher Al Kain Amar Yirei Elokim Kitzrichon Liyos Begeder Yira Midukei Hamishpat Bein Rachamim. Okay, from the preciseness of judgment without mercy, they have to have that concern. And that, of course, is going to be a quality which is above. In other words, the Sarei Alafim need to have all of the qualities. Okay? You can knock off the highest quality for like the Anshei Chayil. These guys don't need to be Anshei Chayil, but they need to be, right? Yirei Elokim, etc. Okay, El Shanosav and Pratim Achirim, Shein Sarachlem Besarameya. Keneged Sarei Chamishim, and okay, so what that means is that the Anshei Chayil have one quality which the Sarei Meya don't need to have. Who Keneged Sarei Chamishim Amar Anshei Emes, and so for the officers of the 50, it needs to say that they are men of truth. She has speak together as a Hagam Shelo Isigul of Chinaz Zeh, She Yiras Otsim Adin, right? They don't need to be of such a God fearing quality. They just must stand for truth, right? Is everybody going to be so God fearing? Is everybody going to be such an Anshei Chayil? No, it's too much to expect. But the Sarei Chamishim, right? They're good foremen. Okay, they're good foremen. But you know what more do you need from them? They just need to be people of truth. And to those who are the officers over 10, so they just need to be people who cannot be bribed. Dailem get a zeh, right? As long as they can't be bribed, then they'll inevitably, probably, you know, pursue truth, but they don't have to be such, you know, in the same way as those who are the Sarei Chamishim. V'dikdei lomar son'ei. And the pasuk specifically says that they should be haters of bribery. Perish ki elam davar sanui lo sheit starkul arachik tavasam. That this item should be detestable to them. Not that they need to arachik tavasam, right, to distance themselves from their taiva. Ki leil yesh chashad she inatzchu me'rasha hamfata v'chol midas agimul yesh nama. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll get back to that. So the point is that if they are above suspicion, why? There are some people who love money, right? And there's some people who say, money's money. You know, that's not for me. Bribery is, it doesn't really work for me at all. So that is good enough for them. Right? So all of the midos are in the Anshei Chayil. Two of them are in the Yirei Elokim, aside from, of course, being Yirei Elokim. Umida Sone Betza Yeshna Anshei Emes, right? Hating bribes is also in the Anshei Emes. And that's the tier that you have. Zemar v'yir elokim v'anche emes and zoni betzah and kulan yiskab tziyachah be'adam echad ha'yitzarech lamar vav b'chol achas ol b'chachos b'chaluka achrona. Right, so what does it say? How does Yisro describe it? Let's go back to the pasuk for a second. Ata techazem mikol am anche chayel. It doesn't say v'yir elokim v'anche emes v'zoni betzah that all the people that you're going to be hiring need to have all of these qualifications. So again, note how he is discerning from the lack of a vav that each of these tiers have the different qualities that he has ascribed. Because remember, like, how are you going to find that many people who are that perfect? All right, good luck. Yeah. And so therefore, you don't need to have this in everybody. Like, of course, if you could find it, so many people who are like that, matov manoyim, that would be awesome. Right? Look at what it says. When Moshe does this, look at the next page. Look what it says. Anche chayel. So the truth is, before I read this Or HaChaim, I looked at this, and maybe I have to amend some of the things that I've written in the past. But that I look at this and say, Yisro said you need to find all four of these qualities. So what does it say? Vayivchar Moshe Anshe Chayil. Moshe found Anshe Chayil. So what did the Arachaim say? That Anshe Chayil is the highest level of you know qualification that includes all four. And the Arachaim is saying that Yisro is realistic, right? You're not going to find so many Anshe Chayil. So you need to have this. What did Moshe find? Wouldn't you believe it? Anshe Chayil. So he didn't need to find the other ones because those that he found were in fact Anshe Chayil. What an amazing, right? Because my vort was, I have to revisit now in light of the Or HaChaim. My vort was that Yisro gives him all this advice, and what does Moshe do? He says, thank you, Yisro, I'll take your advice, but I'm only going to take the part of the advice that I like, which is Anshe Chayil. Mm-hmm. What about the other ones? So the Or HaChaim is saying, Anshe Chayil includes all the other ones. Amazing. Amazing. It's all included. But that perfectly explains what I just said about what Yisro said. If Moshe had to find all the qualifications that Yisro was looking for, you can't say that Moshe couldn't find God-fearing people, men of truth, right? Yeah, I mean, how could you say such a thing? Right? Yisro was saying that you're going to find, you know, Yirei Kim, you're going to find Anshe Emes, you're going to find Sonei Batza, but in the end, what did Moshe find? Anshe Chayil, top tier, top level, all the judges fit into that qualification. Yeah.
Since Anshe Chayil was a cumulative type attribute,
mm-hmm.
How did Moshe distinguish between the people he would appoint for the thousands?
So that's Moshe's job. You got to delegate. So if right. So then it doesn't really matter. If they're great. So I mean, look, how do you decide who's on the Supreme Court versus who's on the appellate court versus who's on whatever? If they're all qualified, I mean, not to get into politics. I don't want to get into politics. But who gets nominated to be on the Supreme Court? Somebody who's on a lower court. But does that mean that only the people who are on the Supreme Court are qualified to be on the lower court? No, obviously, some people who are on the lower court are qualified. There are a limited number of positions. Yeah. So you gotta that's what it is. What it is. That's how you.
I propose we change the name of the Shultan Shechayel.
Okay, I'll make alibi. Okay. This is what I wanted to show you. Okay, so now take a look. This is if we end here, this would be fantastic. Maybe we'll have time for a little more. Very easy to say slave. He says I can't. Is the elephant in the room? Right? What's the elephant in the room? Zachar Yisro Shetikasev Al Yodo Parshazo. Right, how can this Parsha be written in Yisro's name? You know, it's fascinating. I mean, the Or HaChaim does not mention it, but if you look in Parsha's Devarim, Moshe tells a story about how once upon a time I had to make all these judges, and I did it. And guess what? He forgets to mention Yisro. But look at the beginning of Parsha's Devarim; he doesn't mention it. He says, "I did it. It was my story." Now, why that is the case, That's a parsha's Dvarim Shir. I'm not going to get into it. But the Torah, but the Torah clearly is giving this idea and attributing it to Yisro. And so Aruch Chaim says,
"Have one named Avram or Yitzchak."
Right? Yeah. Okay. But why is this being attributed to Yisro? No, forget about that. I mean, listen, the breakdown of the parshas, I don't really understand anyway in terms of how you break down the parshas. Okay. I mean, just as an example, you have the story with Amalek. Why can't this parsha begin with Vayavo Amalek? Right? You had a very nice ending, Refidim, there's a Kiddush Hashem, right? And let this new parsha come, and they'll call it Parshas Vayavo. Right? What is that the Parshas Yisro for? Vayavo Amalek. You don't have to call it Parshas Amalek. You can call it Vayavo, Parshas Vayavo, right? Vayavo Amalek. And then immediately after that, you have Vayishma Yisro. Right? Yisro comes in and he hears, and we know what he heard because they had war with Amalek. So he's saying, no, I mean, Chazal, whoever put the parsha breakdowns together, or separated them, they called this parsha Yisro. I mean, look, it could have been called Parshas Vayishma. Right? We have Parshas Vayishlach, Parshas Vayeshev, Parshas Vayetze, right? We have...
Who named it?
I don't know. Okay? But like, why is it called Yisro? That's the question he's saying. The Hainemis, ki hu kovid Moshe Eber Hashem, b'nei sechero, oh, sorry, who kovid, I'm not sure. He honored. Oh, it's kibed. That's what it is. Who kibed Moshe Eved Hashem? He honored Moshe, the servant of God. Vinei scharo shekibedo Hashem. And so the honor that comes, his reward is that God honors him. Elohai Hashem yachol asos lo davar kavod acher. Right? Lo b'derech zeh. God could have honored Yisro in another way. That's not like, why does he need to have a name? Right? I mean, now the Aruch Chaim seems to be suggesting that it's God who called the parsha Yisro. I don't really, but you know, but we can also say that there is a concept of a parsha. In other words, a parsha means a breakdown, like what we call a perek, for example, in learning language is called a parsha. This is a parsha shebetorah, right? It's a little paragraph, a section, and this paragraph and this section, right? What we call perek yichas, chapter 18 doesn't have any breaks in it. It's the parsha of Yisro. Even if forget about the fact that we call the whole parsha parsha Yisro, this. Parak Yud Ches is Parshas Yisro. I mean, it's all about Yisro. And Yisro is given a tremendous amount of attention and a tremendous amount of honor. So maybe that's what the Aruch Chaim is asking, you know, in addition to the fact that we call it Parshas Yisro. But anyway, so, lo b'derech zeh shir chas v'shalom k'pachas yidiyah ba'am Hashem ad shebo kohen midyan v'eskilam, right? Because it seems that Moshe couldn't come up with this idea on his own. It seems that Am Hashem couldn't come up with this idea on his own. You needed a guy, right? I don't use that term disparagingly or in a derogatory way, but you needed somebody from the nations, right, Yisro, to come and bring in organization. Really? Is that the case? Look what he says. Oh.
All
right. Vinira. And it comes to show. Kitam adavar hu laharos Hashem es b'nei Yisrael adora hu v'chol dor v'dor. That what is the reason? God is trying to show the B'nai Yisrael and that generation and every generation that the nations of the world have Gedolim. I don't mean that they're Gedolim. It's Gedolim. You have great people who understand things and who are wise. But Seolamad me'askolas Yisro, and you can go out and learn. Right? Seolamad. What is Seolamad? Go out and learn, right? That's the vart about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? In Avos, he tells his students, say, right, go out and find what is the derek yishara she'aver lo adam. How do you know what is the right way to live? Say, what does it say? Say means get out of the base medrash. Go learn from the people of the world. Don't only learn things like this from the base medrash. Again, Seichel, it's not Haskalas, you know, the beginning. It's from Yitzro's intelligence. Ba'atzaso, in his advice. Ofen Seder B'nei Adam, in the way to organize people. Asher Bachar, ki yesh b'umos makirim dvorim ha'musharim. There are people in the Umos Ha'olam who, of course, have knowledge and understanding and can do things. Ha'kavanah b'zeh, ki lo ba'ah ha'bachira b'Yisrael, tzad she'esh b'am Haskal v'akar yosem b'kal Umos. Do not ever think that the B'nai Yisrael are more intelligent than the nations of the world. Wow. Don't think that. It's wrong. And honestly, I every time I hear, oh, you know, we're the I'm B'nai Yisrael, and therefore we're more intelligent. Well, there's nothing more racist or bigoted than suggesting that the Jewish people are smarter than anybody else. It's ridiculous. What you can say, we have more Torah than everybody else. All right, that's fine. But he's saying that everybody has an expertise, and there's what to be learned from people who are of the nations of the world. Zelachaos, and this is the proof. This is the sign. This is the emes. Ki aschalas Yisrael, Yisrael sechel halamarta ki lo mirov chachmas Yisrael askaltam baruch Hashem ahem el chesed elyon olavas avos. Why did God choose the Bnei Israel? Because God was kind to the Bnei Israel, and because God loved Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's it. And God says this, by the way. Right, lo mirov bicham yikolamim. Right, it's not because you're great. It's not because you're amazing. It's not because of your numbers. Why did I choose you? Because of the Avos. End of story. I love the Avos, so I love their children. That's it. Not because you're genius. Not because you're amazing. And honestly, God says over and over in the Torah, you're not amazing. Okay, you're not kshei orif. You're so stubborn. Okay, so this is an important. Yoser yarev l'chech tam zeh l'man de amar. According to the Gemara and Zvachim, we have even more. Yisro kodem atan Torah ba. Right, that God wanted to give this lesson to the people even before they got the Torah. Right? Because you think that the Torah gives you more intelligence. No. The Torah gives you a gift of the Torah, but it doesn't give you more intelligence. Right? Even though there are more intelligent people amongst the nations, God says, nevertheless, I still have chosen you to receive my Torah. And that's what we have to give thanks for. That God chose us on account of His kindness, not because we're deserving.
Wow, that's amazing.
What a dose of humility for Am Yisrael, right? And even to those who say that Yisrael came after Matan Torah, there's a reason for why Yisro's coming is presented in the Torah prior to Matan Torah being presented. Because if Yisro's arrival is presented after the Matan Torah, in other words, if things, let's say he came after Matan Torah, okay, he still needs to be presented in the Torah prior to Matan Torah, because otherwise this lesson would be lost.
Wow.
Amazing, right? Amazing. Okay, I do want to do one more. I do want to do one more because... I don't remember when it was. I think it was the beginning of November, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe November. I think it was November. The Boys Yeshiva High School, TTB, had a dedication. And at that dedication, Rabbi Hrabovsky of the Young Israel of Boca Raton gave a speech where he said, "The Orach Chaim says on Parshas Yisro," and my ears perked up. I said, "Oh, I'm going to share an Orach Chaim. I better share whatever Orach Chaim is going to be sharing." And so. It was apropos, and I think it's apropos. Okay, it's a great question, and the Orach Chaim's answer is a good answer to walk away with as well, because it's another reminder. So we're going to skip pasuk whatever I gave you in pasuk Aleph. Okay, so I always encourage you to look at it. It's also an important lesson, but in the interest of time, I'm just going to do pasuk Beis. Okay, but we have to read the two pasukim. So we're on page 400 in the Chumash, Bachodesh Hashlishi. So you really have to see what he says on Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. That's in Pasuk Aleph, so we're not going to do it. But anyway, Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. Okay, again. So again, what do we see? It's in the third month, when they came out from when they came out of Egypt. On this day, they came to Midbar Sinai. Vayis'u mirifidim vayavo Midbar Sinai. Okay, you see the question? They went from Rifidim and they came to Midbar Sinai. What did the previous pasuk tell us? They came to Midbar Sinai. What does this pasuk tell us? They traveled from Rafidim. What's Rafidim? That's where they were at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, right? The last two episodes in Parshas B'Shalach are the episode with the rock and the episode with Amalek. Vayavo Amalek, vayilachem Yisrael b'Rafidim. Okay, so that's what took place. And so the Torah here is telling us that they traveled from Rafidim and they came to Midbar Sinai vayachanu b'Midbar. By the way, that just supports the idea, I think, that when Yisro is reading Moshe on Har Elohim, that they're already there. But the narrative, and I think it also, it fits in actually rather nicely, because Orach Chaim just said that the Parshas Yisro, right, which is Perek Yedches, needed to be stuck in there no matter what. Okay, so the fact that they're coming here, and what we see in Perek Yedches, in chapter 19, is all the preparation for Ma'amad Har Sinai, doesn't take away from the fact that Yisro may already be here, or whatever, that they're in the same place. We're not seeing an additional traveling. Yisro greets Moshe on Har HaElohim. So the fact that they're coming to Midbar Sinai, well, what's Midbar Sinai? Har Ha-Elohim, right? It's all the same place. So the question is, Vayisum Refidim Vayavom Midbar Sinai, we just said that they came Midbar Sinai. Or Chaim. Kasha. The question is, Lama Yichar Mukdam. Why does it say afterwards what should have come first? In other words, Perikites should have begun. Should have begun, rather. They traveled from Refidim Vayavom Midbar Sinai Vayachinuba Midbar. Okay, and when did this all take place? They camped at the thing, and they camped at the bottom of the mountain. When was all this? Give us a date. It's been Israel, Eretz Yisrael. We don't, certainly don't need to hear Bohem and Bar Sinai twice, and the traveling from Rafidim should come first. Okay? V'ulai, he says, so maybe it really comes from the Gemara. Right? Shehu al derech omram ava mikalkeles hashura. What is ava mikalkeles hashura? That love just destroyed. Like Vishmada's people, right? Ever see somebody who's in love, right? They just can't think straight. They're like, we came, we saw, we conquered. I don't even know what's going on, right? And that's what's going on over here. Okay, lagdim amuchar, you know, to say they came to, like, it was such a momentous occasion. They came to Midbar Sinai. How'd they get here? Oh yeah, whatever. They came from Refidim, and now they're here. This is the day. This is the day that God has chosen to give the Torah to the world. And this is determined from the time of creation. And everybody's waiting to find out when are the Bnei Yisrael going to get here. So this has been the most momentous moment in time that we've all been waiting for since the beginning of the Torah, or since the beginning of creation, and now that they're there, the Torah is saying, they came! How'd they get here? Oh, right, okay, they came from freedom. All right, so there's just so much, this desire, some chushamayim, all right, it's the heavens and earth are rejoicing, this is the whole purpose of creation, and what it's all about, and then afterwards, the Torah goes ahead and gives us the details. So first it has to tell us that they're there, and then, oh yeah, by the way, I forgot to tell you how they got there. They got there. Okay, so actually, okay, fine, one second. Okay, so the next question he says is, why does that tell us if Ayachanu Bamidbar that they camped at the desert? Or at the wilderness? Like we know that if they got to Midbar Sinai, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, that's where they camped. So what's the Torah coming to do? It's coming to tell us three particular points which are essential for the preparation for receiving the Torah. Okay, so here we're going to go. We're going to have, you'll see the first paragraph here is Ha'alif. You'll see the next paragraph is Vinyan Beis. And the last paragraph is Vinyan Gimel. What Aruch Chaim is doing is he's showing us how the Jewish people have to be ready to receive the Torah. And this is a timeless message. Ha'echad. Who is Gabrus v'is Atzmus v'esek Torah. The first one is to strengthen ourselves. Okay, Gevura and Otzmus, right? Those are different words for strength. In the involvement in Torah. Ki ha'atzelus.
Laziness.
Who esev ha'mafsid ha'sagasa. It's like a... I mean grass that goes nowhere.
It's a weed.
Right, it's like a weed. Anytime God wants to talk about getting the Torah and going mala, going level and level up, what does he say? Chazak ematz. Ad geder shiyamis atzmola, to the point that a person needs to, I mean, again, it's a metaphor, to kill oneself over it, right? You got to die for it. You got to be willing to die for it. Tichsev zos ha-Torah adam ki yamus ba-oel. What is the definition of Torah? Person who dies in the Beis Medrash. What does it mean, dying? It doesn't mean to die. Okay, it means to kill yourself over it, right? Work hard. Amelus. Right? There are plenty of Ma'amarei Chazal, which talk about how the involving in Torah means just really working hard on it. He's giving a little plug for his book, which he talks about this. I'm at the end of the next line. My meaning, but right? It takes effort. It takes a very strong effort, and that's why the pasuk says and that's why it says that they travel from Refidim. It's not about telling us the exact location from where they came. Right? Because if that was the case, you should tell us where they traveled from. Right? That's the way it goes in the Torah. Look at Parshas Maaseh. They travel from this place to get to this place. Travel from this place to get to this place. So the idea of refidim is a word which is a conjugation of words which mean that they took themselves away from Torah. The whole idea of separating themselves from water in refidim is an idea that they were not ready to accept the Torah. So by Yisumi refidim, they went from that state of mind, and then they come to Sinai. That is a major change. They're now ready to have that strength. Next, the second one is humility. What does it mean to camp in the midbar? That a person needs to be able to say, I am an empty slate. I'm nothing. I need to be filled because I'm a wilderness. What does it mean to accept the Torah? What does it mean to learn Torah? To say that there is, right, we can know whatever we know. But we have to always have the attitude that says, "I need." There's so much more to learn. Okay, perish lush and shiflus v'anav kamidbar shakol dorchem alav, and like a midbar that everybody can walk on, I can step on. Right, I'm a nobody. That's shiflus. And finally, who bechinas yiyur chachamim b'skabrus b'leiv shalem v'tamim, right? That it means to basically understand the importance of gathering with wise people and other kinds of chaburas, and to have a complete heart, a tamim, an innocent or complete. Lo sheyu babibad shalihem amar kasuv cherev alabadim el yisvadu yachad v'yichadadu zeh lezeh. That how do you get Torah? You have to be vayichan shem Yisrael negadar. We know this, right? What does Rashi say? Ki yesh echad lebechad. Right? What do you mean? You need to be all together. Yes, biru panim zelazeh. You need to have dialogue. You need to have conversation. You need to support one another. Connected to Amar, vayichan shem Yisrael lashon yachid, shenasekul and yachad kishachad, vehinata hemru yom kabbalas Torah. When the Jewish people are united and are ready to receive the Torah in that way as a unified people, then the Torah can be achieved and a success in the annals of the Bnei Yisrael. So that these last three notes should be a reminder to us of what it means to be a worthy recipient and mekabel haTorah. It's something which we should carry with us always: the curiosity, the humility, and the unity, which should be hallmarks of the Bnei Yisrael.